When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. Back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 504. Got a first timer joining me on today's show, and he's a good one. He's a really good one. I had the pleasure of talking to this individual at Justin Mason's Potapalooza. It was one of the more fun things I have done in a long, long time. It was an absolute blast. And I think people enjoyed it greatly. You can find his work, his written content over at rotoballer.com, doing baseball and football, or soccer, as some call it. So you can check that out as well. He's on Twitter at @baseball_Jimbo. Jamie Steed, how we doing, man?
I'm good, thank you, Bubba. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you joining me. I'm not even joking. I had an absolute blast on that panel. That was so much fun. We all laughed quite a bit, so that was a good time.
It was. I was most enjoyed. I normally enjoy it, but it was especially more fun, I think, this year. So it was a great blast, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Before we get started, why don't you let everybody know what you got going on, like between the soccer and the baseball and all the stuff over at RotoBaller?
Yeah, so I'm exclusively at RotoBaller. I do the cut list every Sunday, where we just cover players that are on the brink of being dropped, worthy of being dropped, or guys you might think are worth dropping, but actually they're not. So we go in quite depth with 10, 12 names every week. And like I said, I cover the soccer, the English Premier League. Every week we do a full preview of all 10 games, bit of betting tips, season long, and DFS fantasy on that as well. So a little tidbit on every game for that as well. So that goes out every midweek, ready for the Saturday fixtures, and then the cut list every Sunday morning.
Outstanding. How often do you go to a Premier League match, or just a soccer match in general? Because I had the luxury of going to a PSG match when I was in Paris, and it's just soccer in Europe, as you know, obviously, is just a different animal, and I had to do it as a sports fan, and it was amazing. I'd love to hit the EPL up one of these days. So how often do you get to go?
Well, I've been going to Arsenal since I was 5 years old, so that's 33 years now, so I age myself, but every home game. So season starts in August, runs through till May, every other week, pretty much a couple of midweek games. Like tonight, I've literally got back from tonight's game about 15 minutes ago, so a little hoarse in the throat, but it was worth it. So yes, it's a long old time, been traipsing to Arsenal games and back, so highs and lows as any sport, but on the up at the minute, so it's a bit more enjoyable.
That's outstanding. Yeah, and you didn't age yourself. We are the same age. I actually turned 39 in like a month, so okay. It's all good. You beat me to it. Yeah, we're the elder one. Well, I haven't got there yet, so we'll see. But yeah. we're some of the elder ones in this world. So
yeah,
that's lots of fun there as well. But let's talk a little baseball. And as Jamie mentioned, he writes the cut list. I think it's a great article for many reasons. He gets into it and gets some great information, but like you mentioned, it's sometimes it's hard. It's one of my biggest things I talk about is when to get rid of a guy. It's like sometimes you hold on to them too long, sometimes you cut them too early. It's such a fine art that we'll never master, but it's a great conversation. Always get your mind in the right direction. So let's talk about a handful of guys, some that might come out in your article this weekend, some that came out last weekend, and we'll see where it takes us from there. But we'll start with one of the big names that everyone's talking about is Josh Hader. Literally one of the best closers in baseball about a month ago, and it's all spiraled downhill. Right before he got traded, since he's been traded, he's lost his closer's gig. Nick Martinez has got the last three saves. Little hiccup last night, but he still got the save. But what are you doing with Josh Hader? Because he's such an elite talent, but right now he doesn't have a gig.
He's included in this week's article, and as a spoiler, I recommend, on the most part, cutting him, which is hard to do. But the reality is we've got 4.5 weeks left of the season. He's got to earn a closer role back. That could take 10 days, 2 weeks of dominance. Are we even going to see that sort of dominance again? I'm not convinced. So best case scenario, he's on your bench. You're not starting him. It'll take another week and a half for him to be good again, to get the closer role back. And then you're looking at 2 weeks worth of saves, possibly. Is it worth it? Is this, at this stage of the season, a likelihood you need to chase, you need to catch up, you need to do something? So it's just a dead roster spot at the moment, because you're not starting him because you're not getting anything from him. He's not getting saves. Yeah, you're getting some strikeouts, but he's given up 3, 4, 5, 6 runs at an outing. So there's just no fantasy value with him at the moment. If it was early 6 weeks ago, a month ago, I'd say, yeah, hold him, stash him. Even now, if you've got a deep bench in Dynasty, I wouldn't be looking to drop him. But in redraft leagues where you just haven't got that bench spot, it's just no value keeping him around at the moment. So I've got no problem cutting him.
Yeah, it's probably the right move here. He's made 7 appearances since joining the Padres on August 2nd. He's only thrown 4 2/3 innings. He's allowed 12 runs, 8 strikeouts, and 7 walks. It's been downright nasty when it comes to Josh Hader right now. So not what we're used to seeing. A 20% walk rate is insane for him. Still getting the swinging strikes, but it's just there's no control. It's a rough go for Josh Hader. So I'm with you. Now, as Nick Martinez, obviously he's gotten the last 3 saves, looks like to be the guy, but there's other options in that bullpen. Are you going to try to be aggressive if you need saves this weekend on a guy like Nick Martinez, or is it kind of a, you know, be timid? Because I still think eventually Hader finds that job again. So how do you approach that?
Yeah, if I'm desperate for saves and I've got Hader and I'm cutting him or need to get something in to replace him, then I would go quite aggressive on Nick Martinez, but I wouldn't be blowing everything on him. Like I said, he struggled a bit last night. He's not exactly locked in for the closer. I think, was it Garcia got one a few days ago before Martinez got the last 3? He pitched well last night setting up, so he's lurking. I'm not convinced Martinez will just run away with it for the next 4 or 5 weeks. So, yeah, I'd be nibbling on him, but I wouldn't be going all in and expecting sort of 10, 12 saves the rest of the way. But, you know, a handful of saves, solid ratios, decent strikeouts. He's not going to hurt you, I don't think. So I'd be going in on him, but just nothing too aggressive.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. And right now the Giants are down 2 in the 8th, I believe it is, or 7th or 8th. So we'll see who gets the save potentially chance. I doubt it'll be Nick Martinez. He's pitched 3 the last 4 days. So maybe we'll get a Luis Garcia in there and it could sneak it in. So we'll see how that plays out with San Diego. But I'm 100% on board with you on one.
Yeah. So it was 5-1 when I got in. So there's an improvement chance of coming back.
It's 5-3. They're trying to do something here. They got the Musgrove a bit in the 7th, but they're my team and I just lost all hope. So it is what it is there. Before we get any further, I probably, you know, should have said this out the gate. You're doing pretty good in TGFBI, aren't you?
Yeah, I've slipped out the top 10. Last time I checked yesterday, I was 11th. So
I'm still pretty good.
Yeah, I'm still pretty solid, but it was one of those weird anomalies where I was 2nd in on my league behind Jeff Zimmerman, but I was still 1st overall for about a week. So that sort of sent the community a bit of blaze and how the hell that could happen. But you know, it's one of those anomalies with those sort of the tournaments. So I was in 1st. I slipped away a little bit. I had a 3-day spell where I think I got like 2 runs and 3 RBIs across the whole team, so I just plummeted to like 7th or 8th, and I'm bouncing around a little bit. But yeah, it's been a good season so far, so hopefully I can push on and try and at least make a challenge towards the end of the season.
That's outstanding. Yeah, I remember seeing that on Twitter. I was like, how the heck does that happen? That's impressive. That goes to show you the overalls are just a different animal on how that all takes place. Back to the list here. Thairo Estrada, speaking of my Giants, I think he's actually up to bat right now as we speak. It's been a rough go of late for Thairo Estrada after being really, really good, a little bit of power. He had some power, he had some speed. He was looking like this all of a sudden, maybe 2020 guy if things went great for Thairo Estrada. He's hit the skids here of late. And Giants are kind of getting healthy, but that always ends at any moment. So what are you doing with a guy like Thairo Estrada, who, if he plays every day, was showing some great potential, but he's kind of – that potential is drying up at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, he's been solid but not spectacular. I think the Giants have sort of scuffed along a little bit of late, which obviously hasn't helped. And they tinker with their lineup so much with matchups as well. So you see guys who get a couple of at-bats and then they get pulled in the fifth sometimes. That's not affecting him too much, but it's just so much chopping and changing. It's hard to really trust many of the Giants players. I still believe he can have a solid end to the season. He's in this week's yet, and I've not sort of quite pulled the trigger on confirming he should be dropped or not. But at this stage of season, like with any guys, if there's specific needs you have, you've got to chase stolen bases, catch up in strikeouts, whatever you need to just pick up guys, whoever can help with it. Estrada's not someone I'm desperate to hold on to. So it's a situational thing. I think he can pick it up a little bit. I think he can still contribute sort of across the board, but he's not someone I'm desperately thinking I've got to hold on to because he could be a game changer. So he is droppable. In deeper leagues, I think the positional versatility is a lot more valuable. So I'd consider twice in sort of 14, 15, 16 team leagues. But on the whole, he's a borderline at the moment for me.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. He's one of those guys you look at and, you know, you could get right real quick and you can get you a couple homers and a couple steals and have some fun there. But at the same time, he's also crushing you right now. So it's kind of a tough go with him. And you got to think about what's on the wire. You never know. And the Giants as a team, like you said, are just a disaster right now. So
I was trying to be kind. So, yeah.
No, you don't have to hold back the punches. We're good. We're friends. It's all good. You can let it rip. It's no worries. But it's tough. It's tough these days. So I like Thairo. I like them for the future. I'm curious to see what they do there. But the other part you mentioned is they're always playing those platoons. And as long as Crawford's healthy for now, it just ruins it. When Crawford's out, then it's game on. But makes it a little tricky right now. So I'm 100% with you on that one. Craig Kimbrel. This one's interesting because he's been up and down a lot lately. Lately, though, he's got like four straight appearances with no runs allowed, which is new for Kimbrel. But it's always a tightrope walk. When it comes to Craig Kimbrel, and there's some decent relievers in the wings. So what are you doing with Kimbrel? We know the Dodgers are great. They're going to get tons of chances for either saves or late inning production, but how are you approaching him?
I'm holding him, but I'm just conscious. I mean, the Dodgers haven't confirmed any change in the hierarchy. They haven't said Kimbrel's coming out like Hayder. The Padres has said he's getting lower leverage work. That's it. He's not going to be closing games. We've not had that from the Dodgers. And, you know, he still does get rolled out. He has picked up a little bit of late. But like you say, you can't trust him game-to-game basis. You don't know what you're going to get from him. But the Dodgers, I think, is one of those anomalies where you actually prefer them to have a tougher schedule because it's closer games, like the Mets this week. They've got a series. I think they've got the Padres. They've got some tougher games coming up. It was just blowing out the Marlins and whoever was coming up. You're just not getting any save opportunities because they're up by 7, 8, 9 runs every game. So you're not really. I don't think he's got many saves of late, but he's still, as far as the Dodgers are concerned, their closer. So it's hard to drop a guy like that, and I'm still sticking around with him until there's a specific change. We get news from the Dodgers that, hey, we're going with a committee, or, you know, he's going to take some lower leverage work on, then I'm still holding him until such time comes.
If you had to, would you go for Evan Phillips, Brewster Gatterall, or is it just like, I don't know if I want to mess with this situation?
I'll go with Nick Martinez. I just don't know. I mean, I don't think the Dodgers know who they're going to go to on a day-to-day basis. So how are we going to know? So, yeah, it's a situation, unless I'm absolutely desperate in deeper leagues, I think I'm just leaving it alone for the time being and just seeing what pans out.
That's a good call. And Blake Treinen, I wouldn't expect him to close, but he's due back pretty soon. So just another arm to put in the back of that bullpen that could muck up the situation.
Yeah, I mean, gun to the head, I'd say Gratterall would probably get more saves between now and the end of the season. But again, it's just a pie in the sky guess at the moment. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess. I'm with you there. Let's go to Seattle. This is an interesting one because Ty France is having a great season and it kind of slowed down. Then he got hurt. He returned on August 5th. And since August 5th, he's in a buck 73 with three home runs. He's got 5 hits in his last 2 games, and 2 of those were home runs. So that kind of makes the stats look a little better. They were a lot worse even before that. But this is a guy that we were counting on time and time again. Hits either 2nd or 5th most days in that Seattle lineup, a pretty decent Seattle lineup. But maybe he's getting healthy after these last 2 days. Maybe he's just a good 2 days. So how are you looking at Ty France, who was a must-start for a long time, and now it's very, very sketchy?
That's it. I think if you said to me last week what you're doing with him, I would have said I'd be happy cutting him, because like I said, there were stories coming out that he still wasn't healed up, he was playing hurt. Everything has just plummeted. There's no power numbers coming from him. The average has just cratered. So you're sitting there, well, what's the point? And now out of the blue, he's hit home runs in back-to-back games with 5 hits. And it does get the mind thinking, well, actually, is he getting healthy? Is it just he's just found something that he can work with that gets through without causing any pain? I don't know. But if you've stuck with him this long and you finally start to get a couple of results, then I'd be sitting there thinking, well, why would I drop him now? So I'll probably hold on for a little bit to see if he can continue. I'm not expecting home runs every night, but if he can continue to pick it up again, he could have a solid enough September that actually, you know, he could really carry you through the final few weeks of the season if you did hold on to this long. So I don't like basing decisions on small sample sizes, and 2-3 games is the smallest you're going to get. But I said, the fact that he was hurt and he was playing hurt and it was quite obvious, and now he's come alive the last couple of days, it's got me thinking that he is actually healthy or healthier, or something's happened that he can actually swing a bat properly again. So I'm holding on for now, but any signs that actually he's still hurt, or, you know, if he does just go hitless over the next 5, 6, 7 games again, then I've got no problem pulling the trigger on him. Because that said, long term, yeah, I'm high on him again next season. But if it is an injury that's causing his problem, yeah, I've got no problem in dropping him if he just carries on struggling again.
And that's a great point. I think a lot of it is injury related. So maybe he is getting healthy. So it's tough to, because like you said, if he's healthy and he stays healthy, well, that's a big asset for the last month of the season. So see what happens this weekend. Maybe you make the decision this Sunday. Maybe you wait one more week. But he does have the ability to, even in the final month of the year, hit you 5 or 6 home runs and just really, if not more, and go through a tear, which could be tremendous. Like I said, that lineup is very good compared to what we thought it would be. And they're competing for the playoffs. Like it's a good ball club that should have some nice games up ahead for France if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, and he's a good example of the situational in the actual team, because obviously the Mariners can't afford to just bench him and, you know, plug someone else in who's going to do nothing. So they're in a chase for the playoffs in a wild card race. They need him out there as often as possible, even if he is below his best, or he's probably going to be better than whoever they've got on the bench. So it's a case of, if he was on the Nationals, then obviously I can see him chuck him on an IL or just sitting in for the rest of the season. So it does play a factor into, you know, what team these players are on and what their situation is, what their status is, as to whether they are going to be playing or not, and therefore are worth keeping or cutting.
Yeah, 100%. Great call on that one. Luis Urias, not quite like Ty France, but similar, as a guy that we were like enjoying. He's got multi-position eligibility, was playing every day, was being productive. Brewer's gotten a little healthy, so he doesn't play every day now. He's kind of back into a platoon role. And the production's been down, hitting 153 in the month of August with 2 home runs. He still walks a decent amount, gets on base, scored 8 runs, nothing crazy. But the production's definitely taken a hit. So to me, it feels like he's probably a drop, but again, it's one of those tricky ones. What do you have with Luis Urias?
Yeah, I mean, this one hurts because I was super high on him this year. Like, I bold predictions he was going to be a star. He was 30, 35 home run hitter. I was all in on Urias this year, and it's not happened, like I said. And I think, again, in deeper leagues where that positional versatility is more useful, you can keep him around. He's still got a bit of pop, but like you say, he's not playing every day anymore, and his average has plummeted. He's done it throughout the season. He hit like 280 in July, and you think, oh, he's coming back. He's performing again. And then this month, August has been dreadful. So I just don't see any real value to keeping him around in anything but the deepest of leagues. So I've got no problem cutting Urias at the moment.
Yeah, that's kind of the consensus there. I think you're going to have to, unless it is the deepest of leagues, and see where he bounces back from. If he gets going, you can probably still pick him back up in your shallower leagues and see where that one heads to. But Brewers are getting healthy. They got a lot of guys that rotate around that infield. So, like, Colton Wong starting to hit well. You have Jace Peterson. Pretty much Peterson and Urias can just platoon each other. So that's a tough spot there for sure. Jose Miranda. This is a fun one. When you mention this name, I can't wait to get your takes because I love Jose Miranda. I'm pretty pumped on what he's been doing since the All-Star break, hitting 305 with five homers, a stolen base. Like, he's playing every day, hitting cleanup most days for the Twins. This is one of the guys that his draft price is going through the roof after this this second half of the season. So what are your thoughts on Jose Miranda? Because, like, he's not light, like, it's like one hit a game pretty much, but he's been very productive in doing so.
Yeah. I'm going to protect my back here a little bit, okay? When I do the cut list, it goes on to Reddit every Sunday, and I say to people, give me names of who you want to cover, and then I'll do my best to cover them. Someone wanted Jose Miranda this week. Okay, I'm not cutting him. I've got no intention of cutting him.
I'm going to tell everyone, do not cut him.
I say in August, I know, I think the problem is he was so hot in June and July. He was hitting, what, 350, 340. Mm-hmm. He was homering sort of every couple of days. He was on a tear, and then August, his batting average has slipped to 260. Yeah, great. He's also moved up to fourth in the lineup. He's batting clean up for the Twins. He's tallying, what, 12, 15 runs and RBIs this month. There's no reason to drop him. He's literally included just because someone asked, and like I said, I'll try and cover as many requests as I can, but I don't see any reason why I'd be dropping Miranda. Even in August, he's been like a top 20 corner infielder, you know, top 100. I think he's ranked 120th overall as a player in August. So there's no reason to be dropping Miranda, especially if anything now it's better time. He's probably too low rostered. He's moved up as the cleanup hitter. So yeah, Miranda's not someone I'd be including unless I was asked to. So don't jump on me for saying it. He's on the cut list, but he's a hold. He's not a cut.
A couple of things right there. You have some serious guts hanging out in the Reddit streets. That's always a fun one. I love when I post stuff in there. Some of the comments, oh my goodness.
But they love me in there. This probably says more about me than Reddit, but that's how we roll. But yeah, it's a fun time in there.
It's a very interesting time in there, for sure. Some of it's really, really good. Some of it's like, are you kidding me right now? But that's a fun one. I'm glad we're on the same page on Miranda. I was like, I saw that. I'm like, okay, now your justification makes a lot of sense there. Yeah. I understand because I agree with you. He's not rostered enough. Like NFBC leagues he is. But like I do a couple waiver wire articles a week for Roto Baller, and we use Yahoo.
Yeah.
And there's for the longest time, it was like 20, 30%. I'm like, guys, he's the cleanup hitter that's crushing baseballs. What are we doing right now?
I think even now he's only 60, 66%. Roughly rostered on Yahoo as I checked the other day. So it's still, I'll say it's too low. So he should be going up, not down. And yeah, I'll say coming back onto that Reddit, like I said, I'll see Jose Miranda's included this week. I included Juan Soto early in the season. So that's how bad it gets in there. But it's literally 2 weeks running. It was Juan Soto. What do I do with Soto? What do I say? Just hold him. No, what do I do with Soto? He's trash. No, just hold him. I've only played three outfielders. I don't care. You don't have three outfielders. Best. Hold him, and it got to the point I said, you know what, I'm just going to cover him. So I covered him, and yeah, it was just don't think, just hold him, just don't drop him, for crying out loud.
That's amazing. I think there was a couple weeks in a row where I had different people on do listener questions, and it was Juan Soto based, like, what are we doing with Juan Soto? Just like you said, I'm like, are you guys kidding me right now? Like, is this a real question? Am I getting trolled? I'm getting trolled, aren't I? Because like, it's like you don't drop Juan Soto. Like, are you gonna ask me about Julio Rodriguez next when he started out bad, or what are we doing here? So yeah, it's just certain guys, unfortunately, you just leave them in a lineup or pitch them if you want, but I just leave them in line. You're not cutting them, ever cutting them. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, you live with that one. Let's go back to my Giants because they stink. And we'll talk about Logan Webb here, who actually spun a decent one his last time out, 5 2/3 with 7 Ks, no earned. He had no earned against Detroit because they took back that error and gave him no earned runs, thank goodness. But it's been a roller coaster ride, 4 runs or more in 4 of his last 7. Strikeouts have been a little better. There was a patch of the season where he couldn't even strike guys out. It's been a really weird year, but still a 2.89 ERA and a 3.38 xFIP isn't horrible. So it's been weird with Logan Webb. He's not the Cy Young guy people are hoped for, but I think he's serviceable. So what do you have on Logan Webb?
Yeah, I'm still keeping him. Every week I put someone on the hot seat, just as someone who is higher rostered and is struggling, but isn't someone I'm willing to drop yet. And Webb is on the hot seat this week. But like you said, the last few outings he got blown up by the Dodgers. It was on the back of another bad outing, but he pitched a quality start back to back afterwards. I think he had a shutout against Pittsburgh. I don't think it was a complete game, but it was like 7 or 8 innings. And then, like you said, he unearned run against the Padres yesterday. Detroit, 6 runs all unearned. So he's obviously getting a bit of the Cobb effect where he's just getting unlucky on the Giants, but he's not someone I'm dropping, but I'm just keeping a closer eye on him. Just, you know, it's all well and good saying unearned runs, he's been unlucky, but at some point, if you're unlucky that often, then there's a reason for it. So exactly. I'm keeping an eye on him, but I'm not dropping him yet. So he's a hold, but yeah, he's on the hot seat. Just keep a closer eye on him.
Yeah, that you nailed it there. The Cobb effect as well. It's something I say a lot. Is like, yes, the analytics, the stats. There's so much awesome stuff. But you watch a game and you learn a lot. Giants defense is horrific, and it would be a bloop here, an error here, and there goes Cobb's on him. Well, that's happening to Webb. And the common theme is they're not striking guys out. They're letting the ball get into play, which with that Giants defense is not going to cut it. So you're going to have outings like that, like you said, where it's just like, what just happened? Here we are again. This is painful. But Webb's much better than Cobb. I'm going to say that much.
Yeah,
so,
I'll agree with you on that one.
Yeah. So like I'd be patient too with you, but it's frustrating because you drafted him hoping for like an ace, and obviously it has not happened. Like here's just a fun one. Oh wait, we have them coming up later, but I'll save it for them. But I thought of it now. We'll compare these two pitchers later in the show when I bring him up. All right, Jurickson Profar. This is a fun one because I've recommended him throughout the season in deeper leagues. He's been productive at times. He really has. He was leading off for the Padres forever. He's been kind of fluctuating now from leadoff in seventh and doing that. Month of August, one whole home run, hitting .225, not a steal. There was like some hope he could hit a little power, run a little bit. That's not happening. So it's getting tougher and tougher to roster Jurickson Profar right now, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a classic case of 6 weeks ago, so back in July, beginning of the month, I'd say just roster him. There's no problem rostering him. Now we're heading into playoff time for head-to-head leagues, or you're chasing categories. Profar's main asset is he bats leadoff for the Padres. I think he's benched actually today, but he regularly hits leadoff. He's going to score runs. But other than that, he's not contributing a great deal. I think his walk rate's ridiculously good. So, in on-base leagues or some points leagues that count the walks, then he adds a bit more value. But overall, other than runs, he's not contributing a huge amount. So he's a classic case at this stage of the season. If you need to chase other categories or specific something else, and you're fine with runs, dropping him wouldn't be the worst idea, because in reality, you're not getting much else out of him other than the runs. If you don't need runs, then why are you still sticking with him when you're losing out somewhere else when you can catch up? So it's a classical situational type name you get at this time of the year. So like I said, 6 weeks ago, you don't drop him. Now, yeah, I can see a classic case where you need something covered in runs. He's someone that you've got to look at your roster and say, he's the one I can sacrifice.
Let's have a little fun then. If you had to pick between the two, would you rather Jurickson Profar or Luis Urias?
I would say Profar, just because I know he's not playing today, but the playing time, the more reliability, I think, is he's someone I'd rather this stage of the season, someone who at least is playing rather than starting 3 or 4 games a week and getting 7 or 8 fewer at-bats. So, yeah, just Profar. But, again, if I'm fine with runs and I need some bit of power, then stolen bases, he's someone I'm happy to sacrifice if I can find something else.
All right, I got one other one for you then. Let's go with Jurickson Profar or Thairo Estrada.
I will say Estrada, just on the basis that I think he's got more capability of offering power and speed, and he'll still chip in with some runs and RBIs. We're getting that Profile. It's just runs and not much else. So I'll give the edge to Estrada.
Yep,
close, with you. But I'll give Estrada.
With you 100% on this one. Now, this one I thoroughly enjoyed seeing on the list here, because I've been anti-Sean Manaea for a long time, and every once in a while he throws something out there. I'm just like, okay, I'll be quiet. Yeah. But then, more often than not, I'm usually right. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's rough watching Sean Manaea pitch. He's not overly dominant, so if he's not locating, it isn't going to fool many people. He's not striking guys out. He's given up a ton of home runs. It's been brutal. So tell me you're not keeping Sean Manaea anymore.
No, he can go. I think I covered him actually earlier in the season, and I said hold he was hold for now, but again, he's not someone I'm, you know, jumping up and down to. You've got to roster him. And I said, the frustrating thing was, it was his last outings against the Royals, and he got lit up. And he's like, well, if you can't trust him against the Royals, you know, what are you doing with him? I think the outing before was against the Nationals, which, you know, I think I could throw a complete game shutout against at the moment. So that's great. Yeah, a good outing against them. But everyone else is just not. He's just not doing anything. You know, he's 4 or 5 innings. He's not going deep into games. He's giving up 3-4 runs pretty much every time. Yeah, a few strikeouts, but there's just nothing really appealing with Manaea. So, yeah, I've got no problem dropping him whatsoever.
Yeah, it's been brutal. So it's good to hear. Like, even the Marlins 3 starts ago, who are horrific versus left-handed pitching, they got to him in 4 innings. So yeah. It's just... he's not fooling anybody, unfortunately. I hate to be that guy, but he either needs to get his hair even poofier to distract people or do something else, but it's not quite working right now.
And I do so with a lot of these guys that, you know, it's matchup dependent for so many. So you put him on your bench and only start him in the good matchups, or to stream him in shallower leagues where he's not going to be rostered. But the reality is, when you look at who's got to him, who are you starting him against? You know, he's getting hit against some pretty trash lineup, so you can't trust him at all. So what's the point in keeping him around? You go get something else or stream someone, anything really that could sort of help you rather than Manaea.
100% agree with you. We're going to take a quick break to sidetrack here. We'll get back to the list in a minute, but I want to ask you a few questions about yourself. I want to get to know Jamie Steed, and I want the people to get to know Jamie Steed. So obviously people know over in
there's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy, because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post, so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Great Britain, England, I guess. Excuse me if I'm wrong. Please correct me if I'm using the wrong terminology.
You are so far.
I'm just a dumb American. But it's soccer. It's football. Like, that's what you guys grow up on. That's like what your deal is. And baseball is not as pop. Like, it is more popular now. Obviously, they've got games over there. It's growing. We see all the other accounts that are like, I think you guys had a full league last year of English players over there and stuff, which is awesome to see. But how did you get into baseball? Like, how old were you? Was it a thing like your dad got you into, or how did that come to be?
No, I was about 16, so it was like the turn about the year 2000, and I remember it was used to be on. I mean, back then we had 5 TV channels, and if you was lucky enough to have cable, we had 5 TV channels. One of them carried baseball, which was on about midnight, and then there was like a highlights package for Trans World Sport, which is like a lot of American sports covered in it every week. So there wasn't much access to it, but I watched it, and it's a completely different sport, but I suppose it's transferable skills with cricket. I used to play quite a lot of cricket, and then when I was 17, I was at college, and I picked up softball. They did softball for a term semester, so I played a bit of softball. Going back, I was watching a little bit more baseball, and then when I was 18, I got a job. Obviously, over here, you can work in bars and drink at 18. So when I was 18, I got a job in a pub, and you're getting home at midnight. You got 5 TV channels. There's not much on, but one of the channels carried baseball at midnight. So you'd get home and wasn't really going to sleep. So staying up for an hour or two, watch a bit of baseball. So it just sort of built from there. And then over the sort of like the year, 2 years, it was around the time, I think it was the Barry Bonds chase for the home run record as well. So there was a lot going on around that time. So it was sort of getting quite, not, I wouldn't say it was big at the time in the UK, but it was getting a bit of a following. And I just happened to, sort of like, fortunate enough that I was able to watch the games after working, and then I just grew the love from there, really. So I just, it just took over a little bit more and more and more, and then you got more access to baseball. It was a bit more like, internet was obviously a lot more freely available, and you being able to get things up online and check the news, the box scores. It wasn't really carried in the main press, the newspapers or anything, so it was still tricky to get all the information, but there was enough there just to keep you ticking over. And then as you get older and older, obviously it's easier to find access to certain things on the internet, so including baseball. So yeah, it was just grew from there, really.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Yeah, because I've always wondered how, like, I knew it wasn't really a popular thing over there, period. Like you said, it wasn't even like really talked about. It was just on a midnight on one channel type deal, and kind of grew from there. So I was wondering how it came to be. And that's really cool to hear, because I've heard different stories from some of these other Twitter accounts when they're on episodes and stuff. So it's fun to see that they talk about growing the game, and Manfred does everything he can in his power to ruin the game of baseball. So, like, I'm curious on how, like, they're growing the game, and I guess that's one way to do it, like you said, and they introduce softball in school, which is cool, and starting to do other things, and, yeah, that's good to hear. Is it, like, how, you said it's more widely available now because the internet and whatnot. Is there, like, an MLB network over there, or is there access to stuff now where it's, like, if you want baseball, you can get baseball almost any time on your TV?
Yeah, one of the satellite providers carries ESPN, and it's obviously a different variation to what you get in America. But it has baseball, it has the Sunday night games, it has three or four other live games during the week. I say I get the MLB TV app, so I'm lucky, and thankfully Manfred can't black out games in the UK, so I've got free to watch all the games, other than the new ones they put on Peacock on a Sunday, which suddenly I can't watch. But yeah, for the most part, I can watch every single game awesome. on that as well, so it is a lot easier for me to watch them now.
Okay, and then since you started when you were 16, so I won't say how many years ago, but I can do quick math, who's your team?
I'm the Yankees.
Okay,
so
I was wondering.
Yeah, it's a bit of like our glory supporter, but it's whenever I've taken on a support or anything, I like the history. I like the looking back through the records. And like I said, obviously, there's no team with a grander history, as it were, than the Yankees, especially it was the turn of the century, like 98, 99, when I started watching.
Yeah.
A little bit. It was obviously Yankees, like the dynasty at the time, so it was quite easy to follow. But I will say it's been, obviously, since I've started supporting them, then sort of performances have dwindled, let's say. So I don't know if there's a correlation between that, but I'm not taking any hits for it. So, yeah, it's Yankees through and through.
That's at least one of the better answers I've heard, because usually it's like, oh, I just like trophies. I'm the Yankees. I'm the Cowboys, the Yankees. And like no, see, that doesn't work for me. At least you had like the history, because you were new to the game. So that makes sense. Mm. Like you're into the history of it. I totally respect that. So that makes a lot more sense than, you know, some people out there. Like one of the best Twitter profiles ever, it was like Yankees, Cowboys, Ohio State football. Like they said this whole list of stuff, and I'm like, you guys are just ridiculous.
I'll guarantee Manchester United would be on there as well, because that's like the soccer equivalent, as it were. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So cool. I just want to ask a few questions and get to know how you came to be with the game of baseball, because you're very knowledgeable in it, and I was curious on how that all began for you. Let's go back to the list here, and let's start with a fun one. Go to your Yankees. Segue like a professional here, people. Aroldis Chapman. Now, this, like, next thing I'm going to hear is he's going to use Fernando Tatis' hairdresser to fix his ailments on his tattoo. Like, it's ridiculous on what's going on here. But he's on the IL now with, like, some infection or something from his tattoo. I don't know if that's why he couldn't throw strikes. Beats me. But how are you approaching this, and how are you approaching the Yankees' bullpen right now?
Well, he was covered last week, and I'd already had him down as a drop before this whole nonsense. So he was dropped just based on performance, and it was quite clear Boone didn't want to use him in the ninth. He was going to Loaisiga, he was going to Peralta, he was going to anyone other than Chapman. I think there's like three straight games where the Yankees won by two runs. He didn't even pitch. So immediately it says to me, he's obviously still got no faith in him. So he was a drop. And then with this tattoo thing, I had one good person on Reddit that was actually saying, oh, I think it's just a ploy to put him on the IL You do that with back spasms. You do that with arm fatigue. You don't make up a story that you got a tattoo that got infected in his knee. You know,
exactly.
That's an out of the park baseball type injury or something. The Yankees weren't going to be that creative with it. So I do believe it's genuine, but I don't know how long an infection is going to take to heal. He could be back as soon as available. He might be out to the rest of the season. I really don't know, but he was a drop before that. So, you know, just even if you got an IL spot, I wouldn't even bother wasting it on him. And the Yankees bullpen, I'm leaning in toward Clay Holmes getting the job back. I think he was cut a bit too much. It was quite clear, I said, even when he got hurt, Chapman wasn't in favour. So I think the Yankees are keen for Holmes to be the guy, and they're going to try and get him back into it. So I'd roster him. Outside of him, Peralta's picked up a couple of saves, but I'm not convinced he's going to be much of the guy, because he is someone they like to use later on against the lefties or the tougher parts of the lineups. Leisiger's looked a lot better after a really shaky start and being hurt. So he's someone, again, they're two guys that I'd be considering if I was desperate for saves, but I still think between now and the end of the season, as long as he doesn't go back to his recent self and he performs like he did early in the season, Holmes will be the guy.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. It's depending on how Holmes comes back healthy, because I love the Leisiger. I talked about on a recent show how I had him last year, just because late in the season, you know, some of these starters are so bad. I'll take Leisiger and his, you know, four innings a week and his ratios and his strikeouts, chances of wins, might sneak in a save. You never know. So it's enticing, but Holmes on paper has the overall pedigree to close, as you said. And I'm with you on the job dropping the Chapman. Like, I was kind of in limbo on him, and especially when Holmes went to the IL. I'm like, okay, this is his chance. And then the second it just disappeared, I'm like, yep, you're done. Like, that was even before he got hurt. I'm like, I'm not even – they didn't even let him ruin it. They just didn't put him in there. They just started going to other guys. I'm like, the second they didn't put Chapman in, I'm like, I'm done. That's it. Game over. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know the timeline of when he got his tattoo and when he got infected, but, you know, I don't care. I'm not interested in him. So, yeah, go and get another tattoo while you're on the IL, and hope that one comes out a bit better, you know, whatever he's done for
Chapman is something else. I have a small Chapman story. So it had to be almost 10 years ago now or whatever. He was like his early times in Cincinnati. I was in town doing some work stuff, and the Giants happened to be in town. So I'm like, I'm going to the Reds game. I'm checking out Great American Small Park. And we're at one of the bars across the street. And this like red, I think it had to be a Ferrari or a Lambo or something, just comes racing around the ballpark. And it's Chapman late to the ballpark coming into the game, just like flying down the road. And it's just like, and everybody knew it. No one even like batted an eye. Like, I had to roll this. Like, this is what he does. I'm like, goodness gracious. But some things never change, as they say.
It's lovely. It's amazing how some people live. But yeah, good luck to him. But yeah, exactly. He's not for me.
crazy. So Anthony Dominguez, this is an interesting one, because he was so darn good there for a while. Things were looking great. He even kept the ball when David Robertson was acquired by Philadelphia. It looked like it'd still be Sir Anthony's deal. Obviously, he's hurt now, which puts a big damper on things. But how are you approaching that? Are you just going straight to David Robertson? Are you hoping Dominguez comes back and gets a job? How do you look at that situation?
I still see it as 60-40, 70-30 Robertson, in Robertson's favor when Dominguez is healthy. The last I heard was Dominguez was clear to throw this week, so assuming he has no setbacks, I think he's first eligible to come back this weekend. So, you know, maybe early next week he gets activated. If there's no issues with the throwing program, he'll probably go on obviously this time of year there's not so much minor league games available to the guys to go on rehab, so they might have to just throw him back in there. And he's been good, so I've got no problems. If you've got an IL spot and you've been able to keep Dominguez around, I think he will get a few saves between now and the end of the season. They haven't been exclusively going to Robinson a couple of times. You know, he's pitched the eighth inning, setting up for Dominguez, and it's always been the tougher part of the lineup. So they are doing matchups, because I did look into it, and it was like he's facing the 4, 5, 6 hitters in the eighth inning, or he's facing the 1, 2, 3 hitters in the eighth inning. So there is a matchup dependent part of this, but Robertson is the one who will probably get the most saves. But Dominguez, I think, will still chip in with enough to be valuable, again, assuming he's healthy. So if you've got an IL spot, put him on there, forget about it. When he comes back, see how it pans out, put him in your lineups. But if you don't have the luxury of an IL spot and you need something else, he is someone you can drop, because, again, if you're sitting there stashing people, you don't know what you're going to get, if anything, out of them this time of year, and you could be losing out on something else. So, yeah, it's dependent if you've got an IL roster spot, but I would try and stash him on the IL if you can.
Yeah, it's tough, like you said, to stash him right now, because if he's not back next week, then it's a whole week he just sits on your bench where you're going to need that spot this time of year. Everything's valuable, as we talk about time and time again. Bright side is most people's fab dollars are winding down, so you could probably get him on the cheap the following week if you needed to. But I'm with you, like, he's a guy in the Loisiga vein where even if he's not saving games, I think he's going to be so valuable to your team down the stretch. So he is a guy I'd want to have. The Phillies are good. They're competing. So he's going to get his chances to make it happen. I'm with you 100% on that one.
Yeah.
Josiah Gray. This one's interesting because this is the perfect example of the talent's there. We've seen shots of the talent. It's just not consistent. And he loves to give up home runs, even though he likes to strike guys out. Like, loves to give up. It's the Andrew Heaney of the right-handed side of the mound. This is what he does. Ironically, both were once Dodgers. One isn't anymore. But he's such a tough guy for me. It's like he's so hard to roster because you know he's going to get shelled more often than not. But then he spins a gym, strikes out 10, and looks great. And it's like, I know that talent's there. Why isn't it consistent? So how are you approaching Gray? Is it strictly matchup-based, or can you just not trust him anymore?
You can't trust him, but again, you know, it's still fun chucking him out there and hoping for the best, so you can do that. It was, for me, if you're desperate for strikeouts and you're happy to take a bit of a paste into your ERA, then, you know, no problem keeping him around and starting him. I mean, just one thing to consider, obviously, this time of year, your ERA in your roto leagues is going to move a lot less than it would be in May. So if you know, you're sitting there with, oh, I've got a narrow ERA lead, it's probably a bit more healthier than it would be, you know, 2 months ago. So if you can afford the ERA hit that he offers and you need the strikeouts, yeah, go for it. But my big issue was Gray, and he was a poster child for this time of year, is these teams are going to be skipping young starters quite a lot, or phantom IL in them, or moving to the bullpen. You know, Gray's last start was skipped. That could be a common feature for him and a lot of guys over the next few weeks. So it was more of a case of just bear in mind that you're sitting there looking at his numbers thinking, I'll get another 6-7 starts out of him over the next 5 weeks. You're probably not. You might only get 4 or 5 because these teams are not contending, are going to do this with their guys. So it was a bit of an advert, basically, as well, just to say, you know, just follow the news, monitor what's happening with these young pitchers, because they're not going to be starting every time.
100%. There's a couple of really great nuggets there, obviously, the starting every time part. But you mentioned a few things, and he also mentioned it earlier with, like, profar and runs and stuff like that. Is we're at that time of the year where it's look at where you can gain points and where it doesn't matter if you lose. Like you mentioned, you know, your ERA and whip, you know, guys can get shelled, and more often than not, it's not going to move a ton. If your guys get really shelled often, well, you got a problem. But if it's just one guy you're counting on, but maybe you can gain a bunch of strikeouts because Gray has that 10K upside compared to a guy throwing 4 strikeouts or something. So it's what you got to start weighing out right now, like what's worth it to your roster, what isn't, as you're saying. So that's a great point. That's why, you know, to cut or not to cut is kind of a fun. And that's why it's also team by team, because some team might not need strikeouts and doesn't want to risk the ratios, where another team just says, screw the ratios, I want all the strikeouts. So it's totally team dependent. You'll see a lot of weird drops and ads. Like Phil Dussault was the man. Like, he dropped all kinds of guys last year, DeGrom, Bueller. And everyone's like, what are you doing? It's like, I didn't need them. Rob DiPietro did the same thing. And he's like, they both did very, very well. This is like, you got to kind of not worry about other people picking them up if it benefits your team.
And yeah, so that's fine. The focus has got to be on your team and your team alone. If someone else benefits a little bit from it, then the likelihood is this is going to move the needle enough for you to really sort of worry about dropping them. So, yeah, you've got to do what's best for your team. If that means dropping a guy like that, so be it. That's what you do.
I can't wait to hear your answer to this one, because I have my answer already, but I'm gonna see what you've got. Frankie Montas. I hated him getting traded to the Yankees, hated it, despised it. And so far, so good in that this despised nature. Through 5 starts, he's thrown 25 and 2/3, allowed 20 runs. He struck out 20, so that's at least some silver lining in all of this. But it's been brutal. 5 home runs. He's just getting shelled. The Angels hit 3 home runs off of him the other day. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim people hit 3 home runs off of him. It's been brutal, brutal, Jamie. So how are you handling Frankie Montas, who was once a just lock into your lineup starter? And I don't even know if I've used him more than once since he's been traded.
I did give him a bit of a mulligan when he first joined, because obviously he was a bit hurt and he had the his mother-in-law obviously had passed, so he was on a bereavement list for a little bit, and then he came back and was on a pitch count, and it was a, you know, this is one of the points I try and make, that it's not quantifiable. And obviously in fantasy and in baseball we love numbers, but you know, up and sticks and moving across country from Oakland to New York, you've got the bright lights obviously of, you know, the Bronx, and it does play a factor into it. He was going through personal issues, so you know, you can't quantify it. There isn't a number you can put on these things, but it does impact and it does play a part in the season. So I was willing to give him a bit of a leeway, a bit of time. He's, I'd say the last couple of outings has been a bit better. So I'm still optimistic he can. He's not going to be top 20, top 30 type pitcher, but he can still have a decent run sort of through September. But I'm going to put a little tinfoil cap on here, a bit of a conspiracy type theory stuff. It's been noticeable, when I was digging the numbers, the Yankees have got him throwing his splitter a lot more, and they've got him throwing his sinker less. Now, I believe there's been a change through the Yankees in the summer, in June, July. They were so far ahead that a lot of their pitchers changed their arsenal quite a bit, and they're not throwing their best pitches as often. And I think it's because they're trying to save it for the postseason. So opposing teams have less of a scouting report on it, or they haven't, opposing batters are going to be facing a lot, haven't seen the best stuff as often, because there was a definite change in how a lot of Gerrit Cole, Taillon, Montgomery before he got traded, Cortez, there's been a change in their how often they're throwing certain pitches. And I think it's the same with Montas. I think they're trying to get something out of him, or working on something with a view of, you throw your best pitch less, so when it comes to the postseason, you've still got it. And pitchers, opposing hitters aren't as au fait with it, haven't seen it as often. You've got a big run through the Rays, the Blue Jays coming up, teams they could be potentially playing in the postseason. And I tinfoil cap on, again, it's nothing I've seen, nothing I've read, just looking at the numbers. I've got a feeling this is what the Yankees did. They've literally planned the last 2 months for the postseason. They're not even a lock to win the division yet. I'm still not convinced they're not going to get caught by the Blue Jays, quite frankly. But I think there's been a directional change, that everything we're doing now is for the postseason and the regular season, just, you know, just bundle our way through it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. That is an actual legit theory. I'm concerned. The one thing is kind of going with what you were saying, if I do want to be patient, because I'm really close to just pulling the pin. And I agree, the early starts, I was thinking, okay, yeah, his mother-in-law, the move. I was on board with you on that. I was like, yes, okay. And I just, like, I haven't seen anything. But while you were talking, I was looking at his stats some more, and he's got 6 Ks in both of his last 2 starts. That's much better than usual. So that means something's starting to pop. Like, he's starting to get some feel back. Maybe he's getting healthier. It's tough. Like, the schedule's not easy. The Red Sox are a lot more of a walk in the park than they once were. But, like, the Orioles are pesky, the Rays, the Jays. You know, you're going to see a lot of them in September. It's just the way the schedule goes. So it's tricky. So that'll lead me to my question I had earlier, because the gentleman I was thinking of. Would you rather go with Frankie Montas or Logan Webb the rest of the season?
I would say Webb, because I think he's safer. But if I'm chasing and I need to catch up, I need to, you know, throw a dart ball and hope for the best, I'd probably take Montas, but I think 9 times out of 10 I'm taking Logan Webb.
Okay, I'm with you there too. And then just for some trivia here, the bottom of the 9th just started in San Francisco. The Giants are down 1. Do you want to guess who came in to close?
For the Padres, I'll say Garcia, but I think he's pitched quite a lot recently. So
Josh Hader's on the mound right now, and there's a runner on second with 1 out. So here we go. Looked up and I saw that. I was like, oh, here we go again.
See, but now part of me sitting there thinking, I hope he gets shelter. I don't have to completely change tact on my article, but then I don't like seeing guys suffering. So, you know,
it could have been because there's a bunch of lefties coming up for the Giants right now. So, have to see how it goes. Luis Garcia, this is another fun one. And, you know, when you wrote about this last week, Justin Verlander still had a full calf in place. Now it's things have changed a bit when it comes to Luis Garcia. And I love Fangraphs, because I have to, like, guess which one am I doing here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming we're talking about the Houston pitcher, Luis Garcia.
Yes.
And because I remember that from the article. I did pay attention there. He's been interesting. I love them in the early draft season, especially in, like, draft and holds, because he's got great strikeout stuff. like really good strikeout stuff, but you didn't know his role. You didn't know how long he'd go into games. He's given up at least three runs in six straight starts. So that's not ideal because they're not quality starts. He goes five, six. He's got like two quality starts there, but he's got almost five or more Ks in each start. So it's kind of a yin and a yang. Like, what do you need here? So how are you approaching Luis Garcia, who now looks like he might be slotted back into the rotation regularly? Him and Javier look pretty much locked in while Verlander's out.
Yeah, I didn't know what direction they was going to go into because, like I said, we saw Javier move back to the bullpen, and then the Astros said we're going to get him back starting again. Everyone assumed it would be Garcia, the odd man out then, because he's the one who's got the highest ERA and he's not pitched that well recently. But then the Astros came out and said, no, Garcia is doing our plans. It was a complete mess, and I'm not glad, obviously, Verlander got hurt, but I'm glad we've got a little bit of clarity on the situation. Looks like Garcia is going to pitch through, and like I say, it's been a rough run. I think he's given what, six straight starts, where he's given up three or four runs, but he's won his last three. He's only going five innings, and the Astros had a bit of a cold spell offensively recently, but they're still picking up the wins for him. He's striking out enough to be decent, so he's not as bad as someone like Josiah Gray, but he's going to not exactly hurt, not damage your ERA, but he's not going to help in that respect. But you know, as long as he's pitching for the Astros, he's going to pick up wins. He's chipping enough strikeouts to matter, and it looks like he's going to be sticking in the rotation. So I do expect a little bit tinkering with, because they've still got quite a young rotation. Guys like Valdez, who's going deeper, and he's in uncharted territory in terms of his innings. Garcia, someone as well. So I can see a little bit of tinkering with their rotation in the coming weeks and skipping starts or, you know, bringing up guys that are in such a healthy position in the division and the postseason race, so they can afford to do it. So I'm keeping Garcia, but again, he's not a must roster. It's shallower leagues, you know, it's a case to drop him. But for the most part, I'm holding pat with him.
Josh Hader gets the save. Look at that. Miracles do happen. Thank you, Giants. You mentioned Framber Valdez, 22 straight quality starts, which is just ridiculous what he's doing out there. But we'll keep doing this would you rather game, because this is what makes this fun to me. If you put the roster one guy, Luis Garcia or Frankie Montas?
See, if the Yankees offense was anywhere like they were at the start of the season, I'd say the Montas, because you know the wins will be there. But they've been so inept offensively for weeks now. I'd probably take Garcia because he's got more chance of getting wins. I think he's got a slightly higher floor. Montas has got the ability to get shelled, where Garcia, you know, he's been giving up three or four runs, but he's not been putting up a 12-15 ERA in some of his starts. So slight edge to Garcia, but I'm not overly comfortable about that.
Yeah, and probably a better schedule just off the top of my head with the AL West. That going to help a ton as well. What about Garcia and Logan Webb?
Logan Webb for me. Again, I think his floor is too much.
Yeah, so we're still Logan Webb believers. Okay, that's good. Good. Couple more to go here. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. This is a guy that I drafted everywhere, and I don't think I've cut many places, and I maybe should based on what's going on with my team, but he's hitting .292 on the season. Problem is, five homers and three stolen bases. Does have 50 runs scored. Like, it's good and bad with Lourdes Gurriel. It really is. Like, he's not been dreadful, but the lack of power is really not what you were hoping for in this scenario. So how are you approaching Gurriel? Because batting average in this era of baseball is tremendous. So it's real tricky.
Well, there's got to be an APB out for his power, because I've got no idea where it's gone to. It's just literally fallen off a cliff. Whether he's traded it in for more contact, I don't know. But the reality is he's hitting third or leading off sometimes for the Blue Jays. So in any offense, if you're hitting third or first, you're going to have some sort of fantasy value. Like I said, his runs and RBIs have gone up since the move. He's got 50 of each. He's got a good batting average. So he's getting someone who's a bit more, he's situational like profile, but I think because of the runs and the RBIs and the batting average, he's got a bit more value across the board. But again, if you're in a league where you're desperate for power and speed and, you know, runs and RBIs, you're pretty much set, then yeah, you can look to sacrifice him for someone off the waivers, but he's someone I'm holding on to still. So as long as he stays in the prime spots of the lineup, then his value is going to remain quite solid, and he's got a pretty decent fantasy floor from that.
Yeah, and he's a guy I'm going to target again next year because he's got like a 4% barrel rate but a 45% hard hit rate. So he's just like literally it's just a slight tweak could turn into a whole nother – like you increase that barrel rate another 6 or 7% or something and we could have quite the season going on. So he still intrigues me quite a bit in that lineup.
I mean, we all know he's going to hit 7 or 8 home runs in spring and be the leader in it, and then he's not going to hit his first home run until like May 29th, and then we're going to say, what the hell are we doing again? So, yeah, I'm on board with that, but I'm prepared to get hurt again.
That's what we do. That's what we do. Randy. I'm glad we're on the same page here. Yep. It's a fun game we play, even though we know we're doing the wrong thing. It's like, oh, shiny object. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. 100%.
Brandon Lowe, we don't have to really talk much about because he's on the IL now, but he's struggling tremendously. Was he a cut for you before the injury?
He was borderline. Yeah. And then actually, I say when, as I was publishing the article, I think that's when he got hit by Walker, I think, wasn't it? Who hit him on the elbow. He wasn't on the IL initially, but. You know, a few days later, it's obviously not healed and he's back on the IL, but he was someone I was borderline dropping because he found himself in a platoon with Yu Chang. And again, nothing against Chang, but what frustrated me is that his numbers against lefties was worse than Brandon Lau's, yet he was in a platoon because he's a better defender. And it's like, well, yeah, great. I'm not going to question, you know, the Rays when it comes to, you know, moves and how they construct their roster because they're a lot smarter than me. But it was just frustrating that his numbers against lefties was actually pretty good this year, a small sample, but he actually was hitting them better. I think if I remember the top of my head, his splits were better, a lot better than last year and probably better than righties this year. So it was frustrating that he was getting platooned quite a bit, but he was borderline before this injury now. Again, if you've got a spare IL spot, chuck him on there. You've got nothing to lose. I don't know if he's going to be back this season. I imagine he probably will be towards the end. So you're not missing out anything if you put him on your IL. But if you haven't got the spare IL spot, you've got someone else more valuable that, you know, you're probably going to need. If you have to use it for Verlander, McClanahan, someone like that, then, yeah, I've got no problem dropping low now.
Yeah, he's probably a drop for me, like you said, especially with like McClanahan. God, that's a whole other conundrum right now. But they called it Vidal Brujan, and I just want to bring him up for just a second. Like with the Rays this year, 2 homers, 4 steals, only hit 167. But throughout the minors, he's always showcased a little power, a ton of speed, and usually a decent batting average. And he's you'd imagine he'll platoon with Yu Chang, which like I agree. Actually, he's a switch hitter, so like arguing that platoon is going to be pretty comical, actually.
I don't get it, yeah.
But I'm trying to – there we go. I pulled it up. Since he was sent back down in July 17th, I want to see his minor league numbers to see if it's been any improvements on what we've seen. So right before the All-Star break, yeah, back in the minors, 302 with 4 homers and 9 stolen bases. He was caught 5 times, but he's running again and hitting for an average. Does he have any interest to you, or is it just like, you know, he's probably going to platoon and it's just going to be a headache?
Deeper leagues, if you need steals, then you know the upside's there. But like, he wasn't getting on base enough to run, and you know, I've said it numerous times: stealing bases in the minors is a completely different kettle of fish to stealing bases in the majors. So, you know, yeah, see guys who steal 30 bases in AAA come up, and then they're about 2 for 7 to start the season in the majors because they're just getting picked off or they're getting too antsy, whatever it is. If I need the steals and I'm desperate, yeah, why not go for it? But other than that, I'm not really looking at Brujan this year. Long term, of course, dynasty, yeah, but redraft leagues, no, he's bottom of my priority list.
Yeah, you'll get him cheap this week because everyone's going to want Gunnar Henderson and Corbin Carroll. So have fun. Yes. You'll get him nice and cheap if you want him, but I'd rather have the other two also.
Yeah.
CJ Cron, this is a good one. I believe this is one of your Reddit requests.
Yep.
Hitting 271, 28 homers, 86 RBIs, great numbers. The home road splits are a little rough if people dig into it. It's tough to roster him when he's on the road, but how do you approach CJ Cron?
Yeah, it was mainly because at the time, I think they've got 13 home games and 20 road games left. So on the road, he's a below average hitter. So it's like, well, if you've got daily roster moves or if their schedules, like if they've got 7 home games in a week, 6 home games in a week, then yeah, keep him. He could have a monster week that could make the difference. But if you haven't got that luxury, if you're sitting there, you've got other options available. Obviously, the likelihood is he might not be your first baseman. He's going to be a corner infielder. If you've got someone else and he's going to be sitting on the bench because he has got a tough schedule, he's got road games, then if you need something else, then yeah, drop him, because what's the point? It's just sitting on your bench for three of the last 4 weeks of the season. So he is matchup dependent. He's not dreadful on the road. I'll put that out there, but he's a below average. I think his WRC plus is like 86, 87 on the road this year. So for the most part, he has been a below average hitter. So I've got no problem dropping him. But it's a case, again, it's very specific to your league and what you need and what you do. He offers power, but again, if you're set for home runs, you don't really need the RBIs. You're not going to be starting him on the road. So, yeah, just drop him, pick something else up that helps. But I'm not condoning just flat out dropping him. It is completely dependent on your league and situation.
100%. It's a tricky one. And like those NFBC bi-weekly leagues or weekly leagues that you have, that makes it a little trickier. But daily leagues, just get another first baseman, keep him while you can, and go in and out if you can. So that's what I would do as well. Carlos Correa hitting 274 on the year with 15 home runs since August 1st, 295 with two home runs. It's like he's not crushing you, but he's not giving you everything you'd want probably. So how are you looking at Carlos Correa? It's hard to drop him, but it is a deep shortstop position if you're feeling frisky.
Yeah, I put him down. He's someone that I... It's a case of that, yeah, he's nowhere near his ADP value. He's not come close to paying back what you paid for him in draft, but he's still not someone I'd be dropping because he's not been that bad that he's hurting you. The Twins' offense has not been as good as I was hoping at the start of the year, which helps with the lack of runs and RBIs. He missed, about a month with an injury early in the season. So it's been a bit of a spluttered start in his Twins career, which apparently is only going to be 1 year anyway, so see what happens in future. But yeah, he's not someone I'm dropping, but again, he's not someone I'm so enamored with that I'm not dropping him at all. He's must roster, but yeah, I doubt there's going to be much, even I'd say in the deepest shortstop position, there's not going to be a huge deal. I think there's going to be someone who's changed the needle more so than Correa could. And I said, if he's going to opt out of that contract, he's going to want to have to do something in September. So, if he's playing for the money, then now's the time to show it. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not sure he's going to be brilliant. He's not going to be a top 10 shortstop, but he's still serviceable for me.
I agree with you on that one. And this last name, I was really happy to see put on the list here because I've been kind of writing about in different articles I've had and pounding the drum on podcasts. Trent Grisham's better than people give him credit for. Sure, his average is not great since the All-Star break, though. He's hitting 210, not ideal. But what I do want to point out, even Saris mentioned it when he interviewed him in the locker room, I believe it was Tuesday night in San Francisco, is his power numbers have been much better, and I agree. 7 home runs since the break, 1 stolen base. But what I love to see is a 260 ISO, which is a great power number. The OPS 789 is not great. 122 WRC plus is pretty good. So he's been much better producing runs, RBIs, and power since the All-Star break. Batting average is still a killer, but depending on your team needs, Jamie, this is an interesting position to be in. How do you approach Trent Grisham?
I was fine dropping him in shallower leagues, but again, I said if you need the power, he's still showing enough pop. I don't know if he's just thought, I'm batting sub 200, sod it, I'm just going to swing for the fences. And, he's unlocked a little bit of something, I don't know. But, he's found himself in a platoon with Jose, Azucar.
Azucar, maybe? Yeah, I don't know.
Apologies if you're listening, Jose. Let me know what your pronunciation is. But if he's batting ninth and in a platoon with someone that I can't even pronounce their name of, that doesn't really, again, it says probably more about me than anything else, but he's not someone you've got to keep him around. Again, deeper leagues, if you need power, he's still, that Padres lineup, they can still chip in with some runs and RBIs, hitting ninth in daily roster leagues where you can bench him when they're on against a lefty. Great, he's a bit more valuable, but he's not someone I'm so enamored with that you've got to keep him around at this stage. He's someone I'm comfortable with. If you say, yeah, enough's enough, I'm just going to drop him.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with you on that. In deeper leagues, much more viable. Shower leagues is tough. It's very tough, especially platooning. But if you do need power, there is some appeal there, especially, we talk about looking at schedules. If you see, 5-6 right-handed pitchers coming up for the Padres, then, get your Grisham. If they see you're going to play the Giants, get your Grisham. It's just the things you want to do because you can take advantage of this down the stretch. Maybe there's a Coors series on tap down the way. There's definitely some upside to be had there. The platoon makes no sense to me because he actually hits lefties pretty well in his career. Yeah. So that's just sometimes, like Jamie, we talked about the Rays and some others. I think some of these guys just overdo the analytics. Mm-hmm. Like they just see lefty, righty, done. Like they don't understand some of these guys actually can hit them. And some of these guys haven't had a chance to hit them, so they don't know if they can hit them. So it's an interesting game they play sometimes.
Yeah, I think that sometimes they do try and outsmart themselves. So again, you know, I'm not someone who's going to comment on someone's intellects, but you know, good luck to him if it works out for him.
Trust me, I get to watch Gabe Kapler every day, so I'll challenge intellect all I want. It's good stuff there. But that does it for us, Jamie. This was an absolute blast. Before we head on out of here, if you got anything else you want to bring up, or if you want to plug away your Rotoballer content and whatnot, the floor is yours.
No, so yeah, just check out every Sunday morning. The cut list goes out on Roto Baller. I'll tweet it out with the links and everything. And then if you're that way inclined, it's on the Fantasy Baseball subreddit. Every Sunday it gets posted on there. Drop your names in the comment section and I'll either answer a couple of questions about it every Sunday. I'll pop on there or I'll include them in the following week. So if there is anyone specific, reach out to me on Twitter. Go over to this Reddit and subreddit. I say, for the most part, my Reddit experience has been positive.
Good.
Some people do ask me to include people that I've literally submitted the article about, and it's their photo that's the main part of the article, and they ask me about them. So don't do that. But yeah, if you got anyone that you want me to include over the next few weeks, this week is covered, but next week, drop me the Twitter or the subreddit, and then I'll do my best to include them every week.
All right, so what's the realistic expectations for Arsenal this year?
Realistic is top four, third, second place, the way Liverpool have scuffled along. I think third place is probably realistic, and maybe a cup run, Europa League, FA Cup, probably most realistic. So they're on the up, a bit more positive than I've been the last few years, so bit more optimistic, but I'm still tempering the expectations. I'm unbeaten, 5 wins in 5, top of the table. But yeah, I'm keeping my feet on the ground. There's a long way to go, and you know, we've got the World Cup coming up, obviously in November, which is going to throw a bit of a wrinkle in the season. But it's good times ahead.
Yeah, lots of good times ahead. We got all kinds of sports coming up, all kinds of fun stuff, and more importantly, an awesome follow on Twitter and a great guest here. So make sure you check him out on Twitter at @baseball_Jimbo. Jamie, I appreciate you joining me. I can't wait to do this again sometime.
But it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, Bubba.
Thank you very much. Everybody, this is Bench with Bubba, episode 504. Catch you guys next time.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.